Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Justice is Coming is a 2023 political manifesto by Cenk Uygur, the founder of the Young Turks and co-founder of Justice Democrats, written for readers interested in American politics, progressive organizing, and media criticism. The book argues that progressives already align with the public on many major issues and that the main obstacle to policy change is political corruption rather than weak ideas. Uygur presents the United States as more naturally progressive than it appears in elite debate, then frames the persistent power of conservatives as a consequence of donor influence, voter suppression, and strategic fear among Democrats. The book is less a neutral policy primer than a forceful argument meant to persuade skeptics, energize supporters, and explain why Uygur believes a left-leaning future is both possible and likely. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central claim that America is more progressive than its politics suggest. One of the book's core moves is to challenge the familiar assumption that progressive ideas are fringe positions in American life. Uygur argues instead that on many issues, from economic fairness to environmental policy and social equality, public opinion is already closer to the progressive side than national governance reflects. This matters because it reframes political defeat as a problem of representation rather than persuasion. If the public is already moving left, then the task is not to reinvent progressive ideology, but to remove the barriers that keep it from becoming policy. The argument also helps explain why Uygur writes in such a confrontational tone. He is trying to overturn the claim that moderation is the only practical route. In his view, progressives do not need to apologize for their platform, because the broader country is already prepared to accept it once the system stops distorting democratic outcomes. Secondly, corruption in money-driven politics as the real engine of policy failure. The book places heavy emphasis on the idea that corporate money and wealthy donors are the main reason popular policies do not become law. Rather than treating legislative gridlock as a random consequence of partisan disagreement, Uygur presents it as a structural result of a captured political system. This shift in explanation is important because it changes the solution as well. If the problem is corruption, then the answer is campaign finance reform, anti-corporate organizing, and candidates who refuse donor dependence. Uygur uses this logic to connect many separate frustrations in American politics into one coherent diagnosis. The failure of healthcare reform, climate action, labor protections, and voting rights are not isolated failures in his account. They are symptoms of the same underlying imbalance of power. That approach gives the book its urgency, but it also narrows the debate by treating corruption as the dominant cause of nearly every policy blockage, leaving less room for more complex institutional or cultural explanations. Thirdly, Republican power as a product of fear, not majority support. Uygur argues that Republicans remain influential not because they represent a broad majority of Americans, but because they understand how to win under distorted rules and how to intimidate the opposition. The book portrays the GOP as benefiting from polarization, disenfranchisement, and the ability to energize voters through racial resentment, cruelty, and authoritarian appeals. This interpretation is deliberately blunt and helps explain why the book reads as a polemic rather than a detached analysis. The point is not just to criticize Republican ideology, but to describe a strategy of power that thrives even when it loses the popular vote. By emphasizing fear rather than consensus, Uygur also turns attention toward Democratic timidity. He suggests that many Democrats fail not because progressive politics are unpopular, but because they are too cautious to confront the right directly. In that sense, the book links Republican strength to both external manipulation and internal weakness, arguing that defeating the right requires more than better messaging. Fourthly, why Justice Democrats and movement politics matter to Uygur's argument. The book is not only theoretical. It is tied to Uygur's activism and his role in building Justice Democrats. That background gives the book a strategic dimension because it is written from the perspective of someone who sees electoral change as something that can be manufactured through candidate recruitment, grassroots pressure, and refusal of corporate funding. This is where the manifesto element becomes concrete. Uygur is not simply making a case for progressive ideas in the abstract. He is arguing for an organizational model that can translate those ideas into power. Readers can see how the book reflects a belief in insurgent politics rather than gradual compromise. At the same time, this connection to movement politics explains why some readers view the book as repetitive if they already know Uygur's media commentary. The book works partly as a synthesis of his public persona, combative, anti-establishment, and focused on building an alternative to both corporate Democrats and the right-wing machine. Lastly, a persuasive but highly partisan vision of democratic renewal. As a reading experience, the book stands out for its certainty. Uygur presents progressives not as one faction among many, but as the side that is fundamentally right on the major questions facing the country. that clarity gives the book energy, but it also creates obvious limitations. The argument often relies on broad political generalizations and offers less room for coalition building, institutional trade-offs, or genuine disagreement within the left. Still, the book is effective as a piece of political rhetoric because it knows exactly what it wants to do: simplify a complex political landscape into a moral and strategic battle between organized corruption and democratic renewal. For supporters, this creates a sense of focus and permission to be unapologetic. For skeptics, it offers a useful case study in how progressive populism frames contemporary American politics. Its value lies less in balance than in the force with which it restates the progressive worldview and tries to make that worldview feel inevitable. In conclusion, Justice Is Coming will be most useful for readers who want to understand contemporary progressive argumentation in its most unapologetic form. It is especially relevant to Democrats, left-leaning activists, students of media politics, and readers who want to see how anti-corporate populism is translated into a broader theory of American democracy. The book can also benefit skeptics because it clarifies the emotional and strategic appeal of progressive politics, even when they disagree with its conclusions. Its practical value lies in its insistence that policy deadlock is not the same thing as public indifference, and that political power can be challenged through organizing, candidate recruitment, and refusal of donor dependence. What distinguishes it from many similar political books is its combination of media personality, movement politics, and sweeping confidence. It is not a cautious policy memo or a bipartisan appeal. It is a direct, confrontational manifesto that seeks to explain why progressives believe they are not just right, but on the verge of winning. That makes it a revealing document of the current left, even for readers who remain unconvinced by its claims. If you would like to support Cenk Uygur, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.